بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وعلى الثلاثة الذين خلفوا حتى إذا ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم وظنوا أن لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه ثم تاب عليهم ليتوبوا إن الله هو التواب الرحيم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Dear respected brothers, young and old, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed myself and yourselves to once again be in His house to offer the salah and listen to a few words of advice in the light of the Qur'an and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. I did say I will continue from yesterday's talk. Apologies to those who were unable to participate yesterday, inshallah. Still today will be of great benefit, inshallah. If I may ask the audience that were here yesterday, you can shout the answers out. This ain't a test, don't worry, you'd have to walk away, inshallah. Which companion was the hadith regarding Ka'b ibn Malik, mashallah, and regarding which expedition the book, mashallah? Anyone remember which year of Hijri it took place in? The ninth year, mashallah. And so far we reached the part of the story when Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he had presented himself in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and despite having somewhat of an inclination towards deceiving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was getting the thought and the whispers from the people to lie. He avoided all of that and he suppressed himself, he controlled himself and he spoke the truth. A very bitter time for him. He felt very inclined towards lying, but he didn't. And even after he went back, his family member said, go back again. And you know, just tell the Prophet, no, I had an excuse and this is the excuse. But he stood by his word. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told him that you have spoken the truth, Allah will deal with you. Allah will deal with the matter. And he asked him to leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this moment had ordered a social boycott of Ka'b ibn Malik, Hilal ibn Umayyah and Murara ibn Rabi', the three companions. The other two had also were also true believers and had participated in the Battle of Badr. This is what gave Ka'b ibn Malik somewhat of himmah and courage to stay on with the truth that he had spoken. That those two spoke the truth, I will speak the truth as well. What had happened after this, my brothers? An eye-opener. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told all the companions that you must not talk to him and not engage with him in any way, shape or form. The next 40 days were only truly appreciated by the words Ka'b ibn Malik said himself and which are mentioned in the Quran, ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت. That look at the vastness of the earth. Imagine the vastness of the earth becomes very narrow for you. You know when you're in a difficult situation, you've got some financial difficulty, someone very close to you goes through some, you know, is in hospital for example, very, very ill, someone close to you passes away. The earth is wide, but for you, the earth becomes very narrow. Things become very tight on you. And you don't feel the openness. وَوُسْعَتْ مَخْصُوصْ نَيُوتِيَ بِلْكُلْ تَنْغْ هُجَاتَ پُورِ دُنْيَا عَبْكِلِيَ. And he says that I would walk the streets of Medina Munawwara and I would try to do salam with people, people would ignore me. I would try to talk to people, people were ignoring me. No one was conversing with me. The other two, Hilal and Murara, it was alright for them. They were quite old anyway. And they would just stay at home. As for me, he says, I was a social person. I was young, I was quite social. People would talk to me. I had a lot of friends basically. I had a lot of contacts. So I would go out purposely. I would try to make conversation. I would try to go to the market and talk to people. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one thing to the Sahaba and the Sahaba stood by it. Not a single person spoke to Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He even mentions that I would go to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine this, my brothers. He would go to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he would engage in nafil salah as close as he could get to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. maybe the Prophet ﷺ would have some sort of interaction with him. And he says that when I would begin my salah, the Prophet ﷺ, I would see from the corner of my eye, Rasulullah ﷺ is looking towards me. He's looking towards me, he's giving me the attention. And he says that when I would complete my salah and I would look towards the Prophet ﷺ, he would turn away from me. He would turn away from me. And he says that at times I would give salam and I would be looking at the lips of Rasulullah ﷺ, whether he had replied with the movement of his lips. He says that this continued and continued for a number of days. And I began to seclude myself more at home because I was becoming not fed up but very upset, and it had a toll on him afterwards as well. 40 days this had lasted for. He says that my situation became such that I went to one person who I could trust. No one was talking to me. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. If the Prophet ﷺ had ordered something, you don't obey anybody else. This the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is final. He said, I went to one person, I had a lot of opening. وہ میرا بہت پیارا دوست تھا اور رشتے دار بھی تھا. He was my relative, my cousin brother, Ibn Ammi. And his name was Abu Qatada. I went to him, I climbed over his wall, and I went up to him and I gave him salam. And he ignored me. And then I looked at him and I said, oh Abu Qatada. He says, I took a qasam. Abu Ka'b ibn Malik says, I took a qasam that you know that I only love Allah and His Rasul, isn't it so? Ka'b ibn Malik, Abu Qatada, he ignored him again. Ka'b ibn Malik said the same thing again. He took an oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and he said, oh Abu Qatada, you know I only love Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ka'b ibn Malik said, I kept on repeating myself until Abu Qatada, he looked towards the heaven and said, Allah wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Allah and His Rasul know best. He says, my heart broke at that time and I began to cry. That the one person I had hoping to think that I am still a true believer, even he is almost abandoning me as well. He said, I started to cry and weep and I had lost all hope. Saying that, I left. I walked away. I walked away from his house, and as I was leaving, I was in the marketplace and there was somebody who had come from Sham to sell the goods from Sham in Medina Munawwara. And he was calling out, who's Ka'b ibn Malik, who's Ka'b ibn Malik? I was in a very, very sorrow state, very distraught. And he was asking the people, who's Ka'b ibn Malik, who's Ka'b ibn Malik? Eventually, someone pointed towards me and this man came to me. He was from Sham originally. He said, the Malik of Ghassan has a letter for you. The ruler of Ghassan has a letter for you. And Ghassan was part of the empire of Hiraql. It was the closest region towards the Saudi Peninsula, the land of the Arabs, Ghassan. But it was on the Roman side. The Malik of Ghassan has a letter for you. He said, I took that letter from him. The man stood there. And inside that letter, it was written, from the Malik of Ghassan, I have heard, it has come to me, the news has come to me that your people have left you. Your people have abandoned you. Come to a land where you will receive respect and you will be welcomed. My brothers, look at that test. Look at that test. He says, I was reading this letter and I understood that this is also from amongst the tests. He said, I got that letter and there was a tanur, an oven, close by. He said, I placed that letter inside the tanur, in the oven. And I said to the man who had come with the letter, I said, tell the Malik of Ghassan, this is his reply. This is his reply. My brothers, just think about the feelings Ka'b ibn Malik was going through emotionally. It was a time that he could have broken at any moment. And that letter would have been the cherry on the cake. He would have completely broken emotionally and completely detached himself. But he remained steadfast, firm. And one thing we can definitely understand from this is that those people, those forces that work against Islam, those who try to find faults in Islam, they will look for opportunities like this to hijack. They will look for opportunities where Muslims are at the most, you know, they are a bit down, or something's happened within their particular life, or an incident has taken place in a foreign land, and they'll begin to highlight that and amplify that and make a lot of noise about that, only to shaken the hearts of the believers, that whoever can fall off will fall off at this moment. It's not because they have feeling for those people. It's because they've always been looking for opportunity to find faults in Islam, and they found that one opportunity. Many a times it's political gains they're looking for. They want to knock the believers off their feet. Nobody will ever be looking for goodness for you if you're a believer. I'm not saying look at everybody with the eye of enmity, but those people who offer a different lifestyle to you, to the lifestyle of Islam, are not people who wish good for you. They don't have a better lifestyle to offer to you. The lifestyle of Islam is the best lifestyle. Every other lifestyle is the lifestyle which has been proposed by other humans. Insan has made those lifestyles. Whether it's in the call of freedom, liberty, liberalism, whatever you want to call it. Nobody has freedom. Nobody has freedom. In no country do you have freedom. You either follow the law of the land or you follow the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're always bound to some sort of law. No matter how many times a person will cry freedom, they are not free. You are bound to some sort of law. So the question we have to ask ourselves is that whose law am I going to be bounded by? Am I going to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the slave of the people? And we all know being the slave of the people is only going to get you so far. You will get limited acceptance from them. They will only acknowledge you to a limited degree. And thereafter you have to face the punishment in the hereafter. Or you be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe face a bit of grunt in this world, but forever face paradise and freedom in the hereafter. As my respected teacher once he mentions, that ya to is dunya mein man mani karo, ya rab mani karo. You either fulfill your desires in this world or you fulfill the commands of Allah. Jo is dunya mein man mani karega, akhirat mein rab mani karne paregi. Or jo is dunya mein rab mani karega, akhirat mein man mani karega. What does that mean? It means that those people who suppress themselves in this world and follow the commands of Allah in the hereafter, you'll fulfill your desires. And those who control themselves in this world and abide by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Sorry, the other way around. Those people who follow their desires in this world in the hereafter, you'll have to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, and that's going to Jahannam. So it's our choice, do we want to be the slaves of Allah or the slaves of the people? And there's no freedom. There's no freedom. And Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu understood that what this person is doing, he's looking at my vulnerable state. He knows I'm very vulnerable at this time. And I'm very emotional. And if there's any time to knock somebody off their feet is when they're most vulnerable and very emotional. He threw the letter in the tannur and he ignored the man and he walked home. He walked home and a few days had passed. On the 40th day, somebody came knocking on his door. And had gone to similarly the other two companions. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come with a message for you that your wife must leave you now. He didn't pull a face. He said, do I give her talaq or do I send her away? He said, no, don't give her talaq, send her home. Send her back to her parents' house. He said, he told his wife, he went inside, and remember, who's his wife? His wife is the only person talking to him. His wife is the only person who he can get some sort of comfort from. But he tells his wife, Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded this, you must go home now. Somebody told him later on that Hilal and Murara, their wives have gone to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they've interceded for their husbands and saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that can we stay with our husbands because they are in need of our help, they're very old. Why don't you tell your wife to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well? Ka'b ibn Malik said to those people that how can I go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can I go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I'm a young man. I don't need the khidmah of my wife. I don't need the service of my wife. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually asked those two other women that yes, you can do the khidmah, but do not go close to them. Do not be intimate. Do not have any relationship with him. The wives said that, oh Rasulullah, since the day they have been boycotted, they have done nothing except cry. Looking towards me, having feeling towards me is a nur ki baat hai, is very far-fetched. They've only done crying since the day they've been boycotted. Rabbi ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says that my days went by like this, and I would start to perform my salah on the roof of my house. And it so happened that one day after the Fajr Salah, I was sitting on the roof of my house praying, finished my Fajr Salah, and I hear from afar, from a distance, Ya Ka'b ibn Malik Abishir, Ya Ka'b ibn Malik Abishir. O Ka'b ibn Malik, hear good news for you. He says, I heard this and I understood straight away what this meant, and I fell into sajda, I fell into prostration. And he said, whilst this was happening, another man came galloping on a horse, and he gave me the same news. And he goes into the detail. He says, why did that man climb the mountain? He said, because the voice of a man is faster than a horse. They both raced out of the masjid, but the man who was on the horse, he carried on, and the man who was walking realized, I'm not going to catch Ka'b ibn Malik in time. He climbed the mountain and shouted, and his voice reached me before the horseman. So when this man who was on foot, he came to Ka'b ibn Malik's house, eventually Ka'b ibn Malik understood it was him who called me out. He took off his garment and he gave it as a gift to this man. And this is also something we should adopt as well, that if somebody gives you any good news, you should give them a hadiah. If somebody tells you that you've got a child, or, you know, mera rishta tehua, so the person who brings good news to you, you should give them a bit of a hadiah, ambala, jo bhi ho mishti deni hai, unko de do, give some money to them. But this is exactly what Ka'b ibn Malik did. This man brought good news to me, I'm going to give him a hadiah. And what he was wearing is all he owned. So he says further in the story that I had to borrow clothes, garments from my next door neighbor so I can go to the masjid. He said, I borrowed clothes from my next door neighbor. I walked to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I saw the companions all sitting there. Whilst I was going there, many people were greeting me. Some would say, Musafaha karrete, Mu'anaka karrete. And as I got into the masjid, Talha radiallahu anhu got up and he ran towards me and he hugged me. He ran towards me and he hugged me because he was so happy for me. Dusre musalman ki khushi mein khushi manana. He says, Ka'b ibn Malik is telling his son when he's very, very old, he has gone blind now. He says, till today I cannot forget the favor Talha did to me. He was there at the time of my happiness. The other companions were happy for me. They stayed seated. But Talha couldn't hold it in. He got up and he ran towards me and he hugged me. He said, I will never forget that. I will never forget that favor. Muhsin ka ihsan kabhi mat bolna. The person who does a favor to you should never forget that. And he says this in his old age as well. He said, as I got closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his face was beaming, and the Sahaba explained this in various occasions, his face was beaming like the 14th moon. The night the 14th moon has come out, you can see how, you know, how beautiful it looks, how much it's shining. He said, the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the same, and he was very happy for me. And then he gave me the glad tidings that Allah subhanahu, that your forgiveness has been given. Then Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, that is this from you or is this from Allah? He said, from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you and He sent down verses for you. He sent down verses regarding you. And He says that be happy and be more happy than the day a child is born in the mother's lap. The happiness the mother feels at that time, you will feel even more happy at this time. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the verses, وَعَلَى الثَّرَى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. Two more points. Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that I made a promise to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that the only thing that has got me till today was the truth I spoke to you on the first day. If it was not for the truth, agar wo sachai na thi pehle din ki, to aaj main yaha khara na hota. And may aaj khushi na manata. I wouldn't be happy today. But it's because of the truth I spoke to you on the first day, this is why I'm happy today. And he says, from today I make a promise, I make a wa'da, that I will not speak a lie till the day I die. And when he was narrating this in his old age, he says to his son that till today I've not spoken a lie. And inshallah, I will remain like this till I die. And he says the second point, that, O Rasulullah, please accept all my wealth in charity. Please accept all my wealth in charity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not all of your wealth, keep a bit to yourself as well. He said, okay, I'll keep the share that I got from Khaybar. And Khaybar was a huge plot of land, and the Muslims got a lot of booty from that expedition, that fort that they had conquered in the fort of Khaybar, and the Muhajirin got a lot from it, and he was part of them. And he says, besides that, I gave all my wealth into charity. My brothers, this is the story of the forgiveness of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And because of his truthfulness, he was mentioned in the Quran. Those who lied to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about them, innahum rijsun wa ma'wahum jahannam, that those people were filth and their ending is jahannam. This is the difference between speaking the truth and speaking a lie. Ka'b ibn Malik was on the verge of it. How many of us face that urge, on the edge of lying, and then something pulls us back and we speak the truth? So many of us, we're on the edge of lying and we lie. And you know, if you experience this yourself, when you speak the truth, it's bitter initially, but forever sweet. It's forever sweet. And lying is short and temporary sweetness, but forever bitter. You'll always have that guilt as a believer, that you know that time I lied, that time I did fraud, that time I deceived somebody. It still haunts you till in your old age. You might not tell anybody, but you have that katak inside you. You have that thing that is constantly poking at you, and you feel uneasy. That's the lies. And truthfulness for a week, 50 days in this case, 50 days, you go through the bitterness. But then later on in your life, when you look back at it, you feel happy. Okay, yes, I went through a bit of hard time. My parents shouted at me, or my boss shouted at me, or I was suspended for a few days. But eventually, I wasn't called a liar. Nobody can call me a liar. You know, one amazing thing about even the mushrikeen of Makkah, even they wouldn't lie. The mushrikeen of Makkah wouldn't lie as well. Abu Sufyan, when he was presented in the court of Hiraqal, when Hiraqal asked him about what is Islam, he said, for me to know that you're speaking the truth, you stand in front of me. And the people that have come with you, they will stand behind you. When I ask you a question, if you have spoken the truth, the people will stay still and they won't make any gestures. But if you speak a lie, the people will behind you, they'll have to make a gesture that no, he's lying. Abu Sufyan says that throughout the questioning, I was so tempted to lie about Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he wasn't a believer then. He said, the only thing that stopped me was the people behind me, that when I go back to Makkah Mukarramah, I don't want to be called a liar. Because that's the only thing that stopped me. Morals, being a believer and being a liar are things that don't go together. These things don't go together, being a Muslim and being a liar. And the second thing that we can very much take back from is the hope and the sincerity of Tawbah. When you sincerely repent and you have remorse about your actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely forgive you. No matter how many sins you have, no matter how grave the sins you have done, no matter how many people know of them, remember there's always a forgiving Lord. In a hadith of Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that, O my servant, if you come to me with the earth full of sins, I will come to you with the earth full of forgiveness. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads out his hand in the day and calls out the sinners of the night, that we are the sinners of the night, that I may forgive you. And in the night time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads out his hand and says, we are the sinners of the day, that I can forgive them by night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor, he is ghaffar. He is the most forgiving. If you become an oppressor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a forgiver. If you become a very big oppressor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the biggest forgiver. There's nothing that stops you from being forgiven except you doing tawbah. Except you doing tawbah, there's nothing else. And the difference between yourself and a newborn child is tawbah. If you want your slate to be completely erased, you know, many of us, we think, but I've got too many sins. I've done 10, 15 heinous sins that I can count on my fingers. How is Allah going to forgive me? My brothers, it takes one tawbah. You don't have to do tawbah for every single thing and start counting them. You can simply tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, forgive me for all the sins I know of and all the sins I don't know of. Those sins that I have done openly, the sins that I have done secretly. Oh Allah, forgive me for the first sin, forgive me for the last sin. Oh Allah, forgive me for the sins that the people know of, forgive me for the sins that I know of. Oh Allah, forgive me for the sins that the people know of, and oh Allah, erase it from their minds as well, so they don't see me as a sinner as well. It's in Allah's power, but it's in our qudra, in our tawfiq to make that tawbah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive that man who killed 99 people, why can't Allah forgive us? And Allah loves to forgive so much. There's a hadith in Riyadus Salihin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if you were to become a people who do not seek, who do not sin, kullu bani Adam khatta, every son of Adam is a sinner. Don't think that, you know, there's everyone is pious besides me. Everybody's made mistakes. But the difference between the person who's made a mistake and a person who's a pious person is tawbah. The difference between a pious person and a sinner is tawbah. The moment you do tawbah, you're a pious person. You sin again, you're back on this side. You do tawbah, you come back on this side. The only thing that's stopping you from going on the other side is tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if the people became such that they no longer began to sin, Allah ta'ala will create a group of people, a nation that will sin so Allah can forgive them. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. But why do we think sometimes that I can't be forgiven? Or why do we delay the tawbah so much? It's because of shaitan. Shaitan knows that the moment he asks for forgiveness, he'll be forgiven. That's why he never lets your mind go towards that. And another thing is, the more you sin, the more you become despondent about doing tawbah. The more your inclination towards tawbah decreases. You do a sin, you might think of tawbah. You do 10 sins, the thought of tawbah begins to decrease. Because every sin brings about despondency. But don't ever sin with the hope of doing tawbah, because the tawfiq of tawbah could go away. Don't challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things you should never challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with. One thing is by sinning, and number two is by exposing your sin. Never ever expose the sin you have done. If Allah Ta'ala has shielded you and put a curtain over you from the people from seeing your sin, don't remove that curtain. Don't remove that shield. Because now you are challenging Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That I will tell the people. I'm going to tell the people. You put the barda, the satra over me, I'm going to remove that. Never ever challenge Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala by removing the barda and the curtain he's put over you. My brothers, tawbah is an amazing thing. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu. The one who seeks forgiveness, the one who does tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if he's not even committed that sin. And we all know this. We hear this often. And we got sins in our life. But the more you do tawbah, the stronger you become. The more you do tawbah, the stronger you become. Your iman gets stronger. And the more you sin, your iman gets weaker. And every time, it's about making that intention. That now I'm going to leave this sin. And I just want to touch upon this point. There's many things, many habits we're involved in. Sinful activities. Whether it be on the mobile phone, whether it be gossiping, backbiting, lying, cheating, deceiving, you know, fraud, whatever it may be. We sometimes think that, no, but I love doing this. I'm habituated to it. I need to do it. I only find enjoyment in doing it. I can't perform my salah. It's too hard for me. I can't wear the hijab. It's too hard for me. I can't put the niqab on, it's too hard for me. I can't become namazi. I can't give my zakat. I don't want to go for hajj. Na'udhu billah, all these thoughts come to a person's mind. If I start doing this, I'll become pious and my life will become dry. That's what many people think. But my brothers, the moment you do tawbah, and you're sincere in your tawbah, the thing you found hard, Allah Ta'ala will make easy for you. Allah will make that thing easy for you. How many people do we see coming happily to the masjid? Happily giving charity, thousands of pounds. Going for hajj year in, year out. Doing umrah year in, year out. How many people do we see doing such great, great things? The women, they wear hijab. We think, subhanAllah, there's such propaganda against them in the media. Women wearing niqab, we think, you know, people are probably looking at them differently. They probably get called different names. But they happily walk out the house every single day with a niqab on their faces. With a veil on their heads. Every day, what gives them that tawfiq? What gives them that power? Is the quwwat of iman. Is the power of iman, is the strength Allah Ta'ala puts inside their heart. What gives a person who couldn't pray Fajr yesterday, gives him the tawfiq today? It's Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You did tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for you. Don't think it's too hard. Shaitan puts that thought in your mind that the ladha, you know, I'm going to have to start waking up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock to wake up Fajr Salah. It's not going to be hard for you anymore. Allah will make it easy for you. I'm not going to look as beautiful as I used to if I wear the hijab, the sisters think. Allah Ta'ala will give you such confidence in that hijab, you won't have to look down upon yourself. You'll walk out with fakhr, with pride, with courage. It's Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala who makes it easy for you. Once my respected Shaykh, Hazrat Muhammad Salim Durrat Hafidullah, he was talking to one of the teenagers, and he said, you know, why don't you make dua to Allah? Allah Ta'ala, you know, He accepts you, He makes you 5 times the mazi. He said, I don't want to make dua, just in case He gets accepted. Just in case He gets accepted. He said, what do you fear? He goes, I'll stop praying salah afterwards. He said, that's not to fear. He said, then he told the young man, that what you fear, Allah Ta'ala will make it a means of sweetness for you after. And you think it's bitter now, but when your dua gets accepted, you try for that thing, it'll become sweetness for you. Right now you're finding ladha and sweetness in missing salah, Allah Ta'ala will make you find sweetness in performing salah. Right now you find happiness in walking out without a hijab, Allah Ta'ala will give you the sweetness whilst walking out with a hijab, with a niqab, whilst dressing modestly. We need to change our mindset. If Allah, are we trying to say that shaitan is the only one who can give sweetness in our life? The lifestyle of shaitan is the sweet life. The lifestyle of Allah and His Rasul is the true sweetness. Inside here is happiness. Why? Because you are obeying the Creator. The Creator will put sweetness in your life. He'll give you satisfaction. Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. The hearts find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't think tawbah is hard. And if you are thinking, change the mindset. That the life that I need to follow, which will give me success, is the life of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just need to do tawbah, seek forgiveness, and sincere tawbah. Sincere forgiveness. Not that after Ramadan I'll go back to my old ways. Allah Ta'ala ya'lamu sirr. He knows the secrets of the heart. We can't deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sincere tawbah. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the sins you've done. Inshallah, let's make a short dua before we conclude. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به إلى جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعل الدنيا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها وأولها وآخرها وعلانيتها وسرها اللهم اغفر لنا اللهم اغفر لنا اللهم اغفر لنا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها يا الله يا الله you are the most merciful يا الله you are the most forgiving يا الله يا الله we sit here in the month of Ramadan in the state of fasting a state that you very much love يا الله يا الله this is such an action that only you will give a reward for this on the day of Qiyamah. There is no numbers that can give a reward for this, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are in the state of fasting. We are in your beloved house, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, we have prayed the Asr Salah with Jama'ah. Ya Allah, we are waiting for the time of Iftar. Ya Allah, this is a time where du'as are accepted. Ya Allah, we stand here, we sit here before you pleading and crying and asking for your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have lived a sinful life. Ya Allah, we have done many, many sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, only you know the true count and the true number of these sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive all of our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive the first sin we have ever committed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive the last sin we have ever committed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please accept our tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive the major sins we have committed. Ya Allah, please forgive the minor sins we have committed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those sins that we have done openly in public, Ya Allah, please forgive them. Ya Allah, those sins that we have done in secrecy, in the corners of our rooms, Ya Allah, on our screens, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive those sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, after this tawbah, shaitan and our nafs will try to make us slip again and do those sins again, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are the one who is in power, in control of our hearts. Ya Allah, give us the quwwah, the strength to stay upon this tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if we ever do slip in our lives, Ya Allah, bring us back upon this tawbah. Give us the tawfiq to do tawbah, and Ya Allah, please forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us depart from this world before the time that we have done tawbah, Ya Allah, in a way that our slate is completely clean, Ya Allah. That we have no sins in our state, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please allow us to do tawbah before we die, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please make us mustaqim upon this tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please make us from the muttaqin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please make us from the dhakirin, Ya Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin.